Sleep. We all crave it, but how many of us really get enough of it? This vital element has the power to impact our health on all levels, and yet it is often the first thing we cut when we're trying to squeeze more time into our busy schedules. What are the consequences of shortchanging our body in this way? Find out on today's Return to Eden. Everybody, welcome to Return to Eden. I'm Allie Henson. We've got a great show for you today. I'm going to jump right in by introducing my guests. He's a certified holistic health coach through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition and product development manager for the professional grade supplement and body care line, Eden's Essentials. Please welcome Daniel Belt.
Thank you. Good to be here, Allie.
And he's a professional fitness and nutrition specialist, COO of Skywatch TV, and author of the international best-selling book, Time Bomb. Please welcome Joe Horn.
Thank you, Allie.
Well, thank you so much for being here today, you guys. Our topic today is sleep. One thing that I've noticed is we live in a society that runs at full steam, full ramming speed, every single day. If we have a little bit of free time, it's immediately taken away by some new activity.
Right.
And so as we're trying to kind of fabricate more time in our schedules, a lot of times what people do is either get up early or stay up late to catch up on the stuff that they didn't have time to do during the rest of the day. And so this kind of messes with your circadian rhythm and does a lot of things. But one thing I learned when I was working on the research with you for the book Unlocking Eden was there's a lot going on in the body when we're asleep. And we don't remember it the next day, obviously. Mm-hmm. So we take for granted that our whole body has been powered down and that nothing's been going on, but our bodies are actually really busy while we're asleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things that are going on in the body during these hours that we don't realize our body's so busy working?
Yeah. Well, it's actually way beyond the scope of anything that can be discussed in short order. So we kind of have to generalize a bit about that, but we can't even begin to describe its importance. And as we run up to this episode that I knew was coming today, it's really hard to find a way to package the language where people can really understand the gravity of it. I mean, the science is overwhelming in this regard, you know, but I would also say from the aspect of honoring sleep is really important too, because it's something that we are required to spend a third of our life doing. You know, and so how do we really honor something? We honor it with our time. There's not really another way to honor something, and especially something that's so intrinsic to our design. And so when we prepare for sleep, again, which we were required to spend a third of our life doing, we generally need about 7 to 9 hours. But it really is 8 to 9 hours. So there's certain different chronotypes. There's three different ways that people have in their sleep. But it's really important to kind of hit this threshold, because the body works in these cycles. There's four stages of them. And it really has to go through each one in order to complete its outcome. And so whenever we go to sleep, you know, like two-thirds of the brain pretty much goes dormant, but a third of the brain actually increases its function. And this is a function that's normally dormant during the rest of your day, and it's absolutely required in order to have even basic function on almost every level. It's the most important thing that isn't oxygen, and it's probably tied for water. Again, you know, go 5 days without sleeping, and we'll find out what matters most in your life. One out of two people are affected by sleep deprivation. So it's literally half of all Americans, at least. And within the statistics, there's a 0% chance that you can sleep 6 hours a night or less and not be affected negatively. So like even those who think that six is plenty, there's actually statistically a 0% chance that everything is okay.
I find it interesting that you say, you know, we're supposed to spend a third of our life sleeping. Mm-hmm. Most people don't break it down into language that sounds like that. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about the recommendations being 8 hours of sleep, and that is one third of the day, you know, it kind of gives a new perspective on that. Mm-hmm. And yet most people are just not aware that it's that important to your body and to your health.
Yeah. And the science is like so overwhelming. It is massive. Almost nobody, even I, who have really just ranted and preached on this subject for like the longest time, still just get reminded regularly, like these are things that cannot be traded. Kind of back to the honoring and time thing, you know, especially, you know, for those who are of faith, how do you really honor, you know, God's creation? And this is an intrinsic and inseparable part of it. And the data absolutely supports that prospect. And only that, 8 hours is kind of the minimum. Like, yeah. I said, you can get by with a 7, but you really start getting some very depressed function. And so let me just kind of give you a little insight into some of the few examples of what really goes on. So, you know, I have that what they call time dilation when you sleep. So like when you dream, like you can have these expanses of time that feel like it just lasted forever, but right. It was just a few minutes.
Yeah.
That's because of time dilation, which the way time expands and contracts. So whenever we learn during the day, our brain stores that information in one part of the brain, in the short-term memory kind mm-hmm. of area. And this pertains to everything, whether you remember what your husband or your wife said or what your children said to you, or whether you learned some skills, or whether to take your medicine or how to operate machinery or when to pay your bills. You know, all of this is relative to that time. And so at night when you go to sleep and it has to reach the proper stage of sleep, it moves that information from one part of the brain and basically condenses it and moves it into the short-term memory aspect of the brain. But the way it moves it to that, it actually speeds it up. So when you learned something today, what you learned in 2 hours, it's kind of like music. You know, I'd be like...
Yeah, like a metronome.
Right. But while you're asleep, it speeds everything up, and that's why the dreams speed up or take longer, because whatever you learned in the day during that timing in your sleep is like... So you actually learn a lot faster.
Okay, and so is that why they say sleep it. On it when
yeah,
you
yeah.
study and
That's
then take absolutely. Your test the next day?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And because then it moves it into there and it speeds it up.
Yeah.
And so you start getting, it's like somebody teaching it to you faster and more repetitively. And I'm greatly generalizing something that's very complicated.
Right.
But not only that, is during that time, so you have all these neurons in your brains and these synapses. Well, during that sleep time, it's actually stretching and growing to make new connections so that your brain can immediately have that information to pull and draw together. And without that sleep, it literally cannot connect them.
Right.
And it's why yeah. you walk into the room and you're like, why am I even in here?
Yeah.
You know, or something that, man, I studied well, and we see this in studies for people who do tests that really stress about it, study to the nth degree, and then don't sleep. They're stressed about it, and they do poorly on tests, where students right. who don't study a lot but they sleep well do very, very well in these tests.
Yeah.
So again, that's just kind of one example, but that applies to such a vast array of different things. For a statistic, you actually get a 20 to 30% skills increase if you get proper sleep. So if you sleep on it, kind of the phrase that you used, at night, if you go and get proper sleep, the next day you'll actually have a 20 to 30% skill increase over the night before.
Yeah.
And consequently, it is inverse, which means it goes the opposite. So if you don't get that, you actually have a 20 to 30% skills decrease. So not only was it not at the level it was the night before, it's actually less than it was the day before. And so, and again, we beat ourselves up, but why, I just can't get this. Half of all people are deprived in this way of one small thing, but then there's all these things that revolve around hormonal synthesis, which make our pain and our sleep hormones,
just
this vast array of other things that occur during sleep that cannot be separated from the way that we think, the way that we feel, like actually how we feel about our children, or whether we can tolerate our boss. Or actually your pain hormones are made at night as well, and melatonin. And so these only really happen in this time. And without allowing that framework, which about requires a third of your day, rather, to do, then these very intrinsic things that are absolutely directly related and proportional to the quality of our being, the quality of our lives, that really cannot even be enumerated. I can't do it.
Right.
I really stumped on this because we've talked about sleep before to some degree. But I really spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to diffuse that refine that language into something that really can relate to people, because it's life-changing is the other part of that. So people that have corrected these things, even in advanced ages, some people who didn't sleep for 40 years, and once they get this flipped, and we see this in second shift workers, because if you work second shift, the stats are absolutely horrific for what's going to be probably true for your life. So, for example, if you get 6 hours of sleep or less today, in a year, you'll have the testosterone of a person about 10 years older than you are. And I say this as it relates to men, but it's also true for women, but on the other side of their hormonal functions. So, and that's weight control, metabolism, stress,
really
anxiety.
Screens for balance.
Yes, just everything across the board is really greatly affected by this. And it is probably the most significant cause of all-cause mortality. Because at night, so many of these things are repaired. Like, if you don't get proper sleep, you have a reduced oxygen uptake. So what that means is actually you can't even get oxygen, which you can't live minutes without.
Can you explain how the amount of sleep, the length of hours of sleeping, has to do with the oxygen?
Yeah.
Are you saying a person, their body actually receives less oxygen if they sleep?
That is what I'm saying. And I'll cover that in a broader generalization. So you also have a reduced carbon dioxide expiration. So that poison that we have. So through the process of the assimilation of oxygen, we have a byproduct, which is poisonous to us, which is why we breathe it out. We breathe out the carbon. All the plants uptake the carbon, turn it back into oxygen for us. But if we leave that in our body, it's actually a poisonous gas to us.
Right.
And that also prevents the uptake of oxygen, which is instrumental in it, pretty much the most, we call it an element, but it's a nutrient. And we need it 10,000 times more than every other thing, and we're already living in environments where it's greatly depressed. There's about an average of 17 times as much oxygen outside this building as there is inside, meaning you have to spend 17 days indoors to get what you get one day outdoors of the most vital element to humanity.
Right.
And so, is it because while you're asleep, you're breathing more deeply?
Yeah. Yes, and there's so many reasons why. This is what I mean. Actually, like breathing exercises can go a long way to actually correcting sleep.
Right.
It sounds
like
a non-connective relationship, but when you do that, you can get into a deeper sleep. And so when you are sleeping deeper, your body has a deeper exhalation, getting rid of that carbon, and which then that space is open. And when you breathe in, you have a greater oxygen uptake.
And this really ties in, too, with lack of activity.
Absolutely.
So if you're going to deal with sleep, you also have to deal with the fact that if a person is sedentary, like so many Americans that have desk jobs or choose to be sedentary.
That's
they're so mentally drained when they get home, right? You can be mentally fatigued to the point where you're dealing with depression, suicidal thoughts, feelings of despair. Your liver can be out of function. But if you're not physically moving, you're not producing the right cortisone at early parts of the day. Your hormones then also play out during the day in this improper alignment. Your body's not detoxing properly. You're not sweating out. Daniel and I have talked a lot about sweating out, especially in men, stored estrogen that they need to remove so that they can actually create a space for the production of things like testosterone. So don't forget there's a difference between mental fatigue and pure exhaustion and lack of physical exercise. So then when you do go to sleep, let's say you do everything that Daniel's talking about. You go to bed early, you get your 9 hours of sleep, but if your day was sedentary, your body wasn't poised to get the deep REM sleep that it needs for things like curation of hormones, healing cycles. And of course, you could apply this as you were talking, Daniel. I was thinking about as I grew up, how I would get more out of playing the guitar. Long story short, in my early 20s, I was destined to be an international superstar guitar player for God, right? And I spent decades, literally decades. I started very young. By the time I was in my early 20s, I'd been playing for almost 20 years, so decades, almost two. But I mean, I was dead set and I was dead serious. But I noticed that I would get more out of practicing if I played 30 minutes a day or 1 hour a day versus a Saturday where I would binge play off and on for 2 hours and then take a break and then two more. And I did that a lot.
I've
2 hours and you take a break, come back, you're bored and you're stuck at home. And so collectively having it kind of more intravenous and then sleeping on it, giving my body this time that Daniel's describing to run at warp speed and process all the information that I was assimilating and allowing those neurons to make new connections. Muscle memory, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's more to good quality sleep than just going to bed on time and making sure that you're not watching, you know, television till 1 a.m. There's also this lack of movement. And wouldn't you say, in addition to the fact that now you're saying that half of Americans are either too sedentary or don't get enough activity or are sleep deprived for whatever reason, Wouldn't you also agree that lack of activity is destroying our quality of sleep?
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, so like I have a list here that gives us a brief overview of what you can do to improve that sleep. And it is not possible to have normal sleep and be sedentary. And actually, I'll tie this to something else philosophically that's kind of been on my mind lately that I'm trying to work into actual material. You got to be careful with these kinds of things. People have a lot of opinions. That we're called to labor and not work. And I think that's a very important difference, and especially once you understand the science behind it. Is so laboring is different than working. When you come and sit at your desk job, just as you're describing, mm-hmm. that's work. Labor is actually when you're got to go out and reap the fruit of your labor, which is you're out doing things that are very physical. Because only then does your body need rest when it has been used at a strong capacity. And without getting into homeostasis and entropy and, you know, and all these different kind of things about how things grow and detract, our body will just go on a pretty continuous downslide if we're not physically active. So whenever we exercise, and that could be, it could be playing hockey with your kids.
Right.
But it could be planting gardens and trees. It could be doing work outside or whatever we're supposed to do, because that's actually what we're meant to do. It's what we're designed mm-hmm. to do. Mm-hmm. And whenever we do that and our body gets sore, it's actually torn open muscles, and then blood is flown out and it makes new muscles.
Right.
That process elicits a hormonal response from your body that requires you to sleep so that then it can heal those things and you're actually stronger than you were the day before.
Right.
If that body does not get used in a fashion that actually causes it to grow, then you do not need to secrete the same level of hormones for sleep. And so it's this kind of ever-descending hill.
Right.
And it is inseparable. It is actually, in my view, inseparable. And I've been trying to find a way to bring that language together, the difference between what they mean when we say we're meant to labor as opposed to we're meant to work, because it's not different than sleep. Asking people to sleep normally when they sit all day, when historically they would have to like compete for food or grow food or labor, is actually not rational. Most of what really, and it's going to sound like overly a blanket statement, but the idea that almost anybody's rational, reasonable, effective, can remember anything or do their jobs, I find pretty miraculous. Huh. You know, and because I can see this when you start to really study the statistics, you can see this ever depressed nature of where we're going, because there's a trajectory to this. And it's really in the last 20 years. It's really taken off, and there's a lot of reasons why that does, and it calls us to be very shrewd on our own behalves and to really learn that things that we thought we maybe could trade when we, you know, we didn't quite understand the totality of how this affects us, to what we can't trade, which I would assert biblically, but also that this is perfectly scientifically verified, that there is an organization to the way that we're meant to live our lives, reap the fruits of our labor, get proper rest, and everything, letting it have its season. And sleep is not different than that. So, it's part of the season of the day.
So many of our commodities that we've invented for ourselves to make life more convenient. So the fact that we have technology at our fingertips, the fact that we don't have to go to a library and take part of a day to find one obscure paragraph on a particular kind of parasite that we can just Google search or DuckDuckGo something and seconds later have the answers. And we're always connected. Instead of sitting down to take an hour to write a letter to grandma, you send her a text in 1 second. Boom, 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 boom. The fact that we don't grow our own food.
Yeah.
This is what he's talking about. At least I believe you say that you're seeing this trajectory now where we've kind of dumbing ourselves down. We're becoming more slaves to our technology, our food systems. If grocery stores stopped having food on the shelves for 7 days, think of the crisis that people would have. You'd have neighbors looting neighbors, absolute riots, people hitting each other with sticks, fighting over things. We have no capacity to provide for ourselves because we're completely dependent on our ability to buy food from a grocery store. Then you look at the quality of the food. It's absolutely depraved. It's literally criminal from where it was even just 30 years ago. So as a society, we're killing ourselves with our food. We're killing ourselves with our technology. In the old days, I talked to Dr. Ralph about this, just 30, 40 years ago, if a guy operated a company, he would have to negotiate, let's say, over the phone with somebody in Japan. And that conversation might take an hour. Then he would go home, and he would deliberate this conversation with his wife, and they would have dinner together. and she would give him feedback about what she suspects that the business deal might improve or disintegrate if they make this arrangement. Then he takes that to his board, and they kind of decompress. And there's this process. You might take several days to make this decision, but in the meantime, he's aggregating things outside of his constant capacity to stay busy because there's no such thing as immediate access to correspondence all day long. So, and we're all guilty of this to some degree, right? But imagine, raise your hand. You can tattle on yourself. How many of you use moments that could have been idle time to sit there and mindlessly scroll social media, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So every hand goes up, almost every hand. The point is our brains are never getting a chance to disengage ever,
mm-hmm.
ever. There is no rest. Earlier when you're talking about the need to give your body that chance to rest so that it can rebuild muscle.
Yeah.
When you were talking, I got a word picture and then I'll give it back. But it's kind of like I was 10 years old. And I decided one day I wasn't going to shower for a week, right?
Wow.
Which wasn't terribly uncommon when I was 10, right? I used to play in the dirt and do all the things that little boys did. But I come up with this clever plan, and I told my mom about it later, and she immediately dispelled this as actually working, right? I remember grabbing the shampoo, and I lathered my head up, my whole body, and I rinsed. And then I did the whole thing again. I did it 6 times, from head to toe, 6 times. I'm pre-storing my showers.
Right, right.
Right? This is the most clever thing. I'm pre-storing my showers. I have no, there's no difference once you're head to toe, squeaky clean 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
In right. one moment to the next shower, you've not had a chance to reacquire body oils or dirt and soil from the outside, whatever. But when you were talking about the need for rest, it's kind of like if you went in and did all the bench presses that you could and gassed out.
Yeah.
And then you came back moments later and tried to do it again.
Yeah.
Your body only has so much capacity to blow so many cylinders in one day, and without that component of rest, REM yeah. cycle, healing, those fibers restoring, you'll never bulk up, even if it's the same number of reps that you could have stored throughout the week.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you were talking, I got that silly word picture being 10, and I almost told it a minute ago. I was trying not to interrupt him, sitting there smirking. What's he laughing about? I got that stupid picture yeah. in my head again of thinking that you could pre-store showers and then not shower.
Well, actually, to something you said really quick, and I want to come back to what you're saying. Really quick, though, this really is important. When you're talking about doom scrolling or mind scrolling, whatever they call it these days. So this is literally actually what happens. So if you, say, have an hour of iPad time or whatever,
uh-huh.
it takes about 3 hours after that before actually melatonin will secrete effectively.
Because now you're getting to the confusion of light.
Yeah, that's right. Because the light signaling signaling you that it's actually daytime. So it actually takes about 3 hours, and that melatonin is actually what's going to induce the drowsiness. It's going to
sleep. And you just collapse the whole book.
And not just that, even though it happens, it will be 50% less on average.
Right.
So not only are you not getting that same melatonin for hours to come, it comes in at half the strength.
Yeah.
And that's also a vital and intrinsic part of this whole situation.
Let me jump in
here.
We're going to run out of time. We're down to just a couple minutes on the clock.
Yeah.
We actually can do more shows on this in the future. Mm. We need to talk about how this affects the metabolic system, how it ultimately means that if people are sleeping better, they can have a better, an easier time managing their weight. We didn't even get into how sleep issues, as we've watched society sleep less in general, psychological and emotional types of conditions have actually spiked. So there is a correlation here that's worth looking into. We'll have to do future shows on that. But for today, with just a few minutes left on the clock, can you let the viewer know, if they're not sleeping well, what are some things they can do right away to change that for their life?
Okay. So make an assertion really quick is that we can't expect somebody to change everything. It's just about looking at where you're at and starting where you're at mm-hmm. and figure out where you can make those changes effectively and work your way to a solution, just like a math problem, especially chemistry, where you got pages that are 2 pages long, a problem that is 2 pages long. You have to go through the steps. And so just work yourself to it. It's not just going to flip overnight. So let me try to be really brief here. So the first thing he said, physical activity.
Okay.
The body is meant to be used. It actually cannot perform any of its functions normally, pretty much any function normally, and there is no real inducement of sleep effectively without that physical pushing of the body.
Right.
So in addition to this, the body really thrives on repetition. So if you'll go to bed at the same time each night, and I'm not going to go too in-depth with this. It's pretty direct. It's not, and if you think it's harder than it is, it's probably in your own mind. It's you know, and I understand that's not always easy, but it is simple, and you have to apply. I've tried to get to bed pretty consistently at the regular time. Remove electronics and light a few hours before bed. I really find reading to be excellent for this.
Okay.
And I'll try to be concise, but whenever your brain sees things, especially before bed, you're getting light down, your cardiovascular system starting to relax down a little bit, and your brain actually looks at that stuff, puts it in a short-term memory, and then it prepares it for sleep in a much better way than, say, other activities. But it could be other kinds of things too. But in the last hour of the night, try not to do anything that stresses you or that you worry about, so your brain's not drumming up these new hormonal reactions late at night.
So don't pay bills right before bedtime.
That's absolutely correct. The other really quick is cool down. You can take a hot shower before bed, and that will actually cause a blood to flow out into the body. And actually the environment will become cooler. If you drop the temperature in your house, that will really help at night, because temperature exchanges make you secrete hormones to prepare you for sleep. You can wear socks, and that can actually help you sleep. And putting weights upon your blankets. So like actually having a heavier
weighted blanket, those are trending right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, a heavier weight on top of you sends neurological signals that tells you you're more secure. So you'll typically sleep better at night.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Joe and Daniel, for being here today. Thank you, all of our audience members, for joining us. Thank you, viewers at home. I hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next week on Return to Eden.
I'm Bree Graffia of Eden's Essentials, and I'm here today with Daniel Belt. And today we're going to talk to you about another one of our great products that is our Colon Clean. Daniel, what can you tell us about our Colon Clean today?
Our Colon Clean is a blend of herbs that is responsible for helping ease gastrointestinal distress. It's for helping detoxify the colon and improve overall bowel function.
Great. So why would someone need to clean their colon?
Well, the colon is kind of the end game in the human body. So much of what does get eliminated ends up in the colon. And like any mechanical thing, it has to be cleaned and treated correctly for it to function effectively.
That makes a lot of sense. So why would ours, or what makes our formulation so great?
Our Colon Clean is a very simple and clean product. The herbs that are in it are well-crafted or organic, like Trifala and Cascara Sagrada, which have a long traditional history in helping out with cleansing the colon.
Wonderful. Now, there are some things that you can do for free right now at home if you wanted to go ahead and start assisting your colon. You can start adding in some diversity of organic fibers. Now, that can look anything like adding some organic chia seeds to your water, adding some organic flax seeds to a smoothie, or even starting to incorporate organic cabbage, which can be a great source of plant-based fibers. Now, if that seems like too much work, or you're thinking, I don't have any of that in my cabinets, how do I do this easier? Of course, you can always go ahead and call us at 1-800-652-7168 and order your own bottle of Eden's Colon Clean today. And of course, you can always email us at edensessentials.com for any questions. Thanks.